Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Kerr on Pods.
So Pods a hell of a player, but he needs to, and I've told him this, he needs to be a smart player. He's one of our guys who's capable of making really good decisions. He had a lob when we're up 12 in the late second quarter that was frankly insane. It's a 5-on-4. He just keep hitting singles, throw the ball to the open guy. He had the same play last week against Brooklyn where he tried to throw a lob over his shoulder. He cannot be that guy, you know, and he can't foul jump shooters. So I love Brandon. He's a hell of a player. He's got a hell of a future ahead of him. But I hope he watches this clip right now of me talking because he needs to hear it. He's got to be a smart, tough, great decision maker, and he's very capable of it, but that's his next step.
You know, one of the worst things you can do when you're closing out on a shooter is overcommit, leave your feet, you know, get up in the air. There's a variety. And there's times where Pods is not the only one. This team will close out on someone way too far away from the three-point line where that guy is just going to pump fake and go right by you. And now the whole defense is in scramble mode and you're not unable to get back on into a good defensive position. And then simultaneously, when you leave your feet, going back to the offense has all the rules, like you're just allowing three-point and four-point play opportunities over and over and over again. And when a team doesn't have as many possessions as a Denver team with the way they play, letting them get to the free throw line is crushing. It really is, because you're slowing the pace down even more and allowing guys who maybe aren't hitting, like a Jamal Murray, to hit a couple of shots. It bugs me.
But I want to go back to something about the quote. I think there's something deeper here. And I think Steve Kerr, and let's talk about this with the fellas, and the more and more I hear that cut about Pods, Steve Kerr knows he can do that with Brandon Podziemski. It's about understanding your personnel. There's certain guys you could rip, and there's certain guys you can't rip. And what if he does that with Moses Moody? How does he respond? I think Moses Moody responds well. That's who he is. But if he does that with Jonathan Kuminga, how does he respond? I don't know. I don't know how certain guys respond to certain situations. But I think Steve Kerr knows that if I lay into Pods right now, he's going to respond in a positive way. That's how he's built. Now, I'm not saying he's the greatest NBA player in the world. I'm not saying he's an all-star. I'm not doing any of that. And he didn't play the last 5 minutes. Again, Steve Kerr, you look at his game logs, Brandon Podziemski is 16 minutes, it's 17 minutes. Okay, there's 30, there's 15, there's 20. It's been all over the place with Brandon Podziemski. Steve Kerr's quietly, even though we don't see it because he's so polarizing, he's yo-yoed his minutes as well, just like JK and Moses Moody. Not to the extent of Moses Moody, but he has yo-yoed his minutes. But I think Steve Kerr knows that if I lay into this guy, I could get this message to him and he'll watch the clip and he may understand it. But I know I can do that with Brandon because he's gonna respond in a positive way. And you know what? 30 minutes later, Paz walked up to the podium and he owned it. So I think there's something deeper there with Steve Kerr with that message to Brandon Podziemski. And I think he knows that he can handle it. You coach a lot of times. Well, there's certain guys you can talk to in a certain way, and there's certain guys you can, hey, I got to hug you. Some guys, I'm ripping them because I know they can handle it.
The Pete Rose, right? Look, everyone has their feeling on Pete Rose, but he is spot on. And he learned this, Sparky Anderson. There's three ways to coach, and it depends on the personality. Kick him in the pants, put your arm around him, say nothing to him. It's up to you as a great coach to figure out what personality you're dealing with and how to get to that person, right? There are some guys you don't have to say anything to. Some guys you got to get in their face. Other guys you got to hype up. It depends where they're at. And some guys are all over the place, and depending on where they're at in their career or in their personal life or whatever, that's how you got to do it. So, I don't know, your point is well taken. But here's what I would say. I will find out if that message is delivered by how he plays moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. We'll see it. It's going to be a grind. 20 games in, now you're playing the Rockets, an athletic team that is hellacious defensively. Let's go to the Lions, yeah, man. Let's get to Bud, and then we'll get to culture. We got Gary. Bud in Oakland. What's happening, Bud? Good morning.
Hey, happy birthday to you. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, man. You know, to the people who's questioning Pod's playing time and stuff, you know, if you ever play sports, if you ever watch sports, then you don't really have to question that. It's obvious. He's on the ball. He's a guy that you can put on the ball. You know, we don't have anybody else that can bring the ball up the way he can. So that's that. As far as the season, Steve Kerr knows that this is a marathon. The season is not just 2 months. And not saying, you know, it's not time to panic, but it's really not time to panic. Everybody want to make changes. That's fine. That's for the coaching staff to do. But at the same time, we're all talking about the health and the age of Curry and Draymond. Kerr knows that these guys are not going to go on forever. So I'm not saying he's purposely going games, but he has to know what he has in these other guys. These guys have to figure out how to keep a lead late in the game because Curry and Draymond's not going to be here forever. So these guys have to figure out how can they keep a lead. How do you guys stop blowing leads? How do you guys keep up the defensive intensity? Because, yeah, we're not going to always have Curry and Draymond. So, like I said, man, you know, the season is a marathon, but Steve Kerr knows that these other guys he got is the future. Well, I have to see what I have for the future.
It's interesting you say that because I think where my frustration is as I zoom out over the last couple of years, it's like, well, you say you need these guys, then why didn't you give them the leeway that Pods has been getting in the first 2 years early on? Why are we in year four with Kuminga and Moody, and it feels like we're just now like allowing them opportunities to play through some, I don't know.
You mentioned something earlier. There's been a log jam. Hey, Bud, hung up. There's been a log jam at those positions. There's not a log jam at point guard. There's not a log jam at two guard right now. They need a two guard. They need another point guard. So that's why Pods is playing. Let's go to Coach Vallejo. Coach, I know he's got something to say.
What's up, Coach?
I'm buckled up here.
What's up, Coach?
I'm buckled up here because I already know it's going to come with some fire.
Hey, buddy.
I already know where you're going, Coach.
Where are you going?
Tread lightly, Coach.
No,
tread lightly.
Let's hear it.
Hey, all right. First of all, Bonte, if Brock Purdy had as much blocking for him as you do for Pods, the 49ers record would be a lot better.
Here you go.
No.
You know, hey, Coach, but hold on. Before you continue, you do know he didn't play the last 503, right?
Right. And I was getting ready to go at that, Bonte, because the first 7 minutes before that last five is when the Warriors lost the lead and Pods was in
the game. Opened the quarter on a 21-6 run in the fourth.
Wait a minute. Okay, now check this out. Okay? Check this out. Pods, you know, you give a person a rope, they think they're a cowboy. Kerr made Pods a cowboy. He gave him the rope last year, the same way he did with Jordan Poole. Pods now thinks he's the man. Kerr told him, you're running the second unit. Pods, get out there. It's my team. He goes down court. He's pointing to the positions. He wants everybody to play. He thinks he's the man. He's in every commercial. He runs up to every microphone. He says, besides, he and Jaime Jaquez, besides Wemby Yamba, was the best rookies out there last year. So he put a lot of pressure on himself. Now, I know you guys you're professionals. You do your job. But, you know, I'm on a lot of social media. I'm 69 years old. I'm retired, so I can look to all the Warriors' website. They're calling Pods Kerr's son, okay? And that's the bad thing.
You know, social media. Coach, you know social media, man. You're 69. You need social media. It's a toxic place, all right?
Yeah, that's exactly
social media wants to fire Kyle Shanahan for crying out loud.
No. But here's the thing. That's social media. We know that. But you know who looks at that? Someone like Pods, okay? Pods look at stuff like that. stuff like that affects Pods. He takes things personal, the same way Jordan Poole did. And there's a lot of similarity there. Remember when Poole thought he was on equal level with Steph and Clay, and he's taking a big shot and Steph throwing his mouthpiece in the stands and stuff? Pods is just that cocky, okay? And so that's why he has no problem getting up to the podium and saying, well, yeah, I own this, this, and that, because he knows that Kerr will not bench him. Kerr will not give him a DNP. Pods knows this. And so, therefore, he can take responsibility.
All right, let me ask you this, Coach, because you watch Warriors every single day. So let's say if Kerr did DMP, hypothetically. It may never happen, but what if he did DMP? Where are you going to find ball handling outside of Stephen Curry? Because Stephen Curry's greatest power right now is playing off the ball.
I have an answer to that. First of all, you don't need Curly Neal to bring the ball up court in the NBA.
No, you need somebody to facilitate the half-court offense, right?
You know who does a pretty good job at that? Jonathan Kuminga. He does a pretty good job at that when he brings the ball up court and he's on top. He makes the good decisions. You yourself said no turnovers last night. Jonathan Kuminga threw those great passes, and people don't want to give him credit for that part of his game. Wiggins brings the ball up court well. And, you know, these guys can do it. Kyle Anderson can do it. These guys. Buddy Hield could even do it. You do not have to be Curry Neal, point guard, on the Warriors.
Coach, stay online. They had Chris Paul last year. Bonte, they had the ultimate point guard, the old school OG point guard. Where did that get them?
Well, he doesn't play .5 basketball. Chris Paul was not a good fit for the system.
I agree they need to adjust, but Chris Paul didn't fit. I kind of am with him. I think we make a little too much of the ball handling.
No, it's about facilitating in the half court.
But if Steph can't move as well off ball, you need to adjust.
I think he moves well off the ball. What you don't want to do is put the ball in his hands and have him facilitate all day long. There's a role for Pods on this team, whether it's 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I think we're being too critical. Pods was balling yesterday, Coach, up until that sequence in the fourth quarter. Can you tell me that Pods wasn't balling? Sure, there were some defensive lapses. I've seen all these players make defensive lapses before. Come on now. I'm being called opportunity employer, man. I get on everybody, Coach. Everybody.
I've been Kuminga's biggest fan.
Hey, Coach, have I not been Kuminga's biggest fan out here for 4 years?
Absolutely.
All right? Come on now. Let's be fair.
I'm being fair. Now, first of all, Bonte, to start off the game, there's no one on the court that Pods can guard. He can't guard other guards, so Wiggins and Kuminga have to guard the Jamal Murrays of the world.
That's what Kuminga's here for, is to guard Jamal Murray and the opposing wing players. That's why I don't want to trade Wiggins. That's where they're here.
But they have to guard Kyrie Irving and Ja Morant also.
Guess what? Klay Thompson in his prime had to guard those guys too.
But I think what he's getting at is that when you play Curry and Pods together, that's two guys who can't guard anyone.
Oh.
What?
Keep going, coach. Oh, he's gone? Why do you hang up on him?
He's gone for like 5 minutes.
So what? Marco, or who's on this line? I don't even know who's on the line. You got to start somewhere. Who are you going to start in that spot? Moody?
Well, no, okay. they're in a tough spot.
Come on, man. If you
go defense with like a GP2, right? Let's say, well, now your offense is going to struggle, right? I mean, would you say he's shooting 19% from three, GP2 currently?
17%.
Okay, 17% for three. And he hit a three in the corner yesterday. It was a huge three. So, like, the problem that they have right now, and it feels like we've been saying this for a long time, is that the role players that you're asking to fulfill that two-guard role are either defensive-oriented or offensive-oriented and not a combination of the two.
Look, everybody's going crazy over the start. The finish. Pods wasn't there in the fourth quarter in the finish. So you did have guys who were defending, like GP2, mm-hmm. Wiggins, Kuminga. And guess what? You couldn't score in the last 2.5 minutes. You couldn't score. Your problem in the last 5 minutes of Christmas is you can't score. San Antonio, you wasn't just scoring. Brooklyn, you missed 14 straight shots. 14 straight shots against Brooklyn. You missed in the last five. Like, you're not scoring in the last 5 minutes. So when it comes to Pods, I get it. I get what people are saying about Pods. But also, Paz didn't play the last 5 minutes last night.
Yeah, I know. But every game, when you lose by a couple possessions, we go back into the second quarter and the third quarter and the fourth quarter, and there's seminal moments of runs and momentum and stuff, and people cling to them. Like, your point is well taken, and you're 42, right. But people 42, also cling to these.
54-42. Are we going to cling to the end of the first half when they give up a 15-3 run at the end of the first half?
Well, when the coach is citing a specific play in the second quarter where Pods turns the ball over, yeah, I think people are going to cling to that.
I'm going to cling to the 8 turnovers in the third quarter and Steph Curry committing 4 of those turnovers?
But Steph's
going to cling to that?
But,
I get Steph is Steph.
It's like Tom Brady throws a game-losing interception.
We're
not going to
sitting here talking about starts, right? Who's starting it? Because we're so fixated on starting. The Warriors are up midway through the first quarter. They're up in that game midway through the first quarter. They're up 20-16. They're up 20-16. So, slow start. They didn't have that last night with the first five.
No.
And Paz was on the floor.
But this isn't a individual isolated thing with Paz. I think this is more big picture of the first couple months or whatever,
well,
2 months or
it
so.
It was all kumbaya the first 10 games.
Well, they were winning.
It was all kumbaya when they were 12-3.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, wow, we got rid of the cancers
Buddy
last year.
Buddy healed.
We got rid of Buddy healed. I don't hear much about Buddy Buckets no more, and I like Buddy Buckets. But it's also disrespectful the way we kicked Klay Thompson out the door, and I'll stand on that. Alex in Atlanta, let's go.
All right, guys, let's go through the checklist really quick. You got no secondary scoring option behind Steph. You still got a problem with size in the interior, which leads to overhelping on defense, which leads to bad perimeter defense. So you're giving up a lot of threes. You don't have a primary ball handler in the second unit right now. You don't have a consistent closing lineup, which hurt them a lot last year. It seems like it's hurting them again this year. It just feels like all the problems they had last season, they didn't manage to address many of them, if any of them. I know they shipped off Klay Thompson. I agree with you, Bonte. I don't think they did right by Klay in that regard. But at the same time, they tried to get more athletic. They tried to get some better bench scoring. But I don't think they really solved any of their problems. And it's coming home to roost right now. I know they started 12-3. Everybody was happy then because, to Joe's point, they were winning. I'm not going to throw Brandon Podziemski completely under the bus, but I am going to call out Steve Kerr for having this strange obsession with wanting to play Pods 25 to 30 minutes a night when you're just letting guys like Moses Moody wilt on the bench, not giving him an opportunity. He was balling last night himself. I thought he played a better game than Brandon Podziemski throughout that game. But the point I'm trying to make is that it seems like they're the same team as they were last year. They've just moved some pieces around, but all the same problems are there. And I don't think they're going to progress forward in any meaningful way until they address those. And I don't know how you do that. Unless, to Joe's point, you tweak the system to better accommodate what you have.
Yeah, I agree. I thought down the stretch, good call, Alex.